Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Toontown is having some growing pains, something new is coming to Avengers Campus, more places to sit around the parks,
a new Disneyland tour, Hyperspace Mountain is coming back, we talked to Vern and Teresa about their Disney cruise, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Well, hello there. Welcome to our unbirthday party. For your safety, please be sure to stay listening with your hands, arms, feet, and ears inside the podcast. And please, do give Peg and Teresa easier trivia questions. Well, it seems DL Weekly is about to begin. Have a most wonderful time. Perhaps tea time.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of March 29th, 2023. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Teg Bushman. I'd like to send a shout out and a big thank you to Whitney C. for becoming an official weekly tier on our Patreon. Our supporters get some pretty fun perks like DL Weekly swag, bonus content, access to our Discord community, and more. If you'd like to have some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to join the community.
If joining Patreon is not something that you're interested, but you'd like to do a one-time payment, you can now buy us a churro. Head on over to dlweekly.net/churro to support us with a churro or a one-time pledge. Thank you to all of our listeners who have supported the show in any way possible.
Now let's get to the news.
Well, with the opening of Toontown, there has been some growing pains that Disney is grappling with. The biggest issue is just all of the guests that want to be in the new land and experience all of the changes. It is still a rather small area, so even a modest amount of guests can make the area feel overcrowded. Stroller parking is also an issue, with cast members constantly trying to rearrange them to provide more space. In Centennial Park, there's also a lot of wear and tear on some of the new structures, especially the Dreaming Tree routes.
Yeah, so, you know, right now, Toontown is the new thing,
right? It is.
So everybody wants to be back there. It is not the biggest land. I mean, it never has been the biggest land.
And it's kind of, there's only one way in and out. Yeah. So that's another issue, too.
And of course, it's meant for kids, which means a lot of strollers, just like mm-hmm. Fantasyland we sometimes mm-hmm. get into. So there's a lot of these growing pains. Centennial Park, I feel, you know, seeing some of the stuff there with just the fact that it's so popular that things are just wearing a lot faster than they will, I think, in the future. So I think we're just in this period of time where because it's so popular and there's so many people utilizing these things, that it is going to wear a lot quicker than it normally will. I think Disney will come in as things start to slow down, hopefully, and they'll re-kind of do some of these things that are brought back up to the like opening day standard. But for now, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's just popular. There's a lot of people back there and you just, you know.
Well, yeah, and some of the things too with Centennial Park is so the roots of the Dreaming Tree, the paint's actually already peeling off of those roots. But what they purposely made those roots softer structures. It's not like a hard concrete structure because it's play stuff. The kids are supposed to be climbing on them or whatever. So they made them soft so that in case anybody takes a tumble, it's not going to, you know, hurt them as much. So
like you want, yeah.
Yeah, which makes total sense. But then the flip side of that is because it's a softer, probably more porous surface, they're having the paint's not adhering as well. So
right. There's
going to be some trial and error to figure out what the correct thing to do for that will be. The other thing, too, that Mice Chat reported on was that some of the ground under the fake faux grass feels a bit uneven.
Sure.
So they may have to pull some of that back to level areas out so that there's not like bumps and trip hazards so people
sure.
aren't twisting their ankle and that sort of stuff.
Which I think some of that can also be from the amount of people because when they first put it down, you know, it hasn't had, you know, thousands of people stomping on it for hours
that's
and hours a day.
Too.
So that's how those things can be changed. Well, Magic Key holders can pick up a great piece of artwork celebrating the reopening of Toontown. The artwork can be picked up on the Big Thunder Trail just behind Big Thunder Railroad and features Toontown with Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, and Goofy, and Pluto, and more enjoying the newly renovated land. Mickey and Minnie are having a picnic while other characters play and enjoy the surrounding area.
This is so, so adorable. If any DL Weekly Magic Key holders are out there, go get your park reservation. Go get yourself one of these. It's so cute. You could easily frame this thing and have it, on display in your home. I really like this artwork. It's so fun. It's colorful. It's great.
Yeah, I like that they're doing stuff like this for the Magic Key holders. They've done a couple prints and stuff like this already for other things, and so it's really nice to see all of the Toontown artwork and all of that put together here. So, yeah, so very cute. I love that. Is that Chippendale in the tree?
It is. That's amazing. It's Chippendale in the tree. It's in the style. It's very, if you've been on the attraction or if you've seen videos of the attraction, it's the same style that of cartoon as they use for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. So fits in perfectly. Well, there's something new coming to Avengers Campus soon. Unfortunately, it is not the e-ticket attraction that we would like and would are hoping for. A new gift shop is what's coming to part of the Avengers headquarters building. Disney hasn't shared any details, but we will keep you updated as we hear anything.
So I was a little sad because it sounds like they're building the I've heard this described as they're building the gift shop at the exit to the attraction before they build the attraction, which, okay,
is interesting.
But at the same time, I feel like we're going back to, 20 years ago, one of the problems, or 25 years ago, one of the problems with Disneyland is we had Paul Pressler, who was big on shops.
Yes.
And I feel like this is kind of another one of those situations of let's add more shops.
See, I'm trying to think positively on this.
Okay.
Because right now you have Avengers Campus shopping is fractured.
That's
true. You've got it. You've got two things in Hollywoodland. You've got the superstore, and then you've also got the, like, I don't even know what you call it, the permanent kiosk thing that's out there that's shopping. Both of those things have been taken over by Avengers stuff. That made sense when Avengers Campus was not open yet and still under construction. However, it's been almost a year now. Those areas are still being taken over by Avengers merch. I'm hopeful that perhaps building more shopping inside of the land will free up one of those spaces. Ooh. I don't think it's going to be big enough to free up both of those. Maybe, I don't know, but I'm hoping maybe that means something might be happening in Hollywoodland.
I mean, that would
they're
be
wanting
a good...
to be a little backwards and build the gift shop first instead of the attraction. That's my hope.
That's a good thought. Yeah, because right now in Avengers Campus, the only shop you have is you have that outdoor like kiosk that's by the restrooms. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Web Slingers store.
The web supply store.
And that's it, right? Mm-hmm. Except for the exit of Guardians, which has a gift shop. Yep. That's kind of it.
That's it.
So you're right. There needs to be like a proper gift shop for regular Avengers stuff because the web supply stuff is all Spider-Man. Well,
so I'm hopeful.
I'm hopeful too, now that you say that. Well, a very welcome change is bringing back some more resting places around Disneyland. More benches and tables have been showing up around the parks to allow for guests to have more places to sit and take in the atmosphere. When Mice Chat spoke with park executives at the opening of Toontown, they said more was on the way, but there were still some delays due to supply chain issues.
This is exciting because, like you said, places to sit, but the execs also told Mice Chat that there were going to be more like shade, like more umbrellas and also more tables, which, I mean, this is great because you can have more areas to sit and watch like the parade
or eat. We always have trouble finding tables to eat.
Love it. I love it. I'm very excited about it.
You know what's funny? When Touch of Disney was happening, it seemed like there were tables and chairs and shade everywhere. What happened to all of those tables and chairs?
Great question.
Because were they renting those? Maybe?
I do think they come. They do bring those out for the different food festivals because there are definitely more.
Well, they just need to rejigger them in the normal times.
Yep, those tall, two top, almost those tall, skinny tables. But yeah, I'm excited about this. It's interesting because they took a lot of this stuff away when they were doing Project Stardust, when they were cleaning stuff up and widening walkways and all that stuff because they were expecting, because of all the crowds they're expecting for Galaxy's Edge. So it's interesting that maybe that they've seen that kind of dip.
Sure.
And so they're able to kind of use more of that, what they had considered walking space now for benches and things to make people more comfortable.
Well, with reservations, they a lower cap of attendance, so they don't need all of that.
I mean, that is one huge difference between Project Stardust time to now.
True.
Speaking of Star Wars, with all the promotions for Star Wars, in the month of Star Wars in May, Hyperspace Mountain is returning. From May 1st through June 4th, guests can experience this version of the popular attraction.
My big excitement for this is with our trip in the beginning of May, I do not believe, producer James can nod his head at me, I don't think he's ever experienced Hyperspace Mountain. He has not experienced Hyperspace Mountain.
Oh, James.
So this is going to be like cherry
You're
on top.
You're in for a treat. It's so fun.
Yeah.
Dare I say, I may enjoy Hyperspace Mountain more than the original.
I think I do too, because they're
both great.
The stuff that they add to it, first of all, you're not just whizzing around in the dark, but also there are parts of that with the effects and stuff going on that it seems like it's even faster than the normal attraction, which
Plus
obviously
the
it's
music.
Not. Yeah.
The Star Wars music just fits in there. I love it. I love it. The other exciting thing happening over at Space Mountain is the single rider line has returned.
Oh, yeah.
That's exciting, too.
Yeah. I heard that the setup for it is a little different. We talked about it a little bit last week on the show that basically you're having lightning lane people. And if you have like a lightning lane group of like five, then you get put in to be the sixth with that group. And then you get sent in the lightning lane, which I like only because one of the things that, and maybe I shouldn't get frustrated about this, but this happens at Radiator Springs Racers a lot, is entire groups of people will just be like, well, we'll go in single rider, and then just to not wait in the line. It's not that they are a single rider, but they're just trying to, and sometimes they get put with partial their group, and sometimes they don't. So I like the idea that it's, you're guaranteed to not be with your group with this kind of setup. And I kind of, there's an evil part of me that kind of likes that.
Well, but think of how it's built too. Radiator Springs Racers, you can easily have three different queues. You can't really, I don't know how maybe you could, but it'd be more difficult to have three separate queues for space.
Yeah. Well, weekly tiers who are fans of the tours available at Disneyland will be excited to hear of a new tour that is starting on April 7th. Celebrating Disney 100 at the Disneyland Resort will provide the opportunity for guests to talk to an animator, take part in a drawing experience, special photos in front of Sleeping Beauty Castle, and get to see Magic Happens from a special viewing spot. Reservations are open online at the link in our show notes.
We haven't even had a chance to talk about this. As soon as I read this, all I could think was, yes, sign me up. Sign me up. This sounds amazing.
Well, you love the drawing stuff, so this is like perfect.
I know. That's what I'm like. What? I mean, yeah. So fun. I love that tours are back. I love that they're introducing new tours. It feels like all the time. I know they haven't been introducing them that frequently, but it's just so exciting to me that we have a couple of, different tours and these special kind of seasonal tours, and now, you know, a tour to celebrate the 100th anniversary. Super exciting. Super, super exciting to me.
There are times available on the days that we're there.
Don't tempt me.
Question is $110
per guest. $110
per guest.
And it's a 2-hour tour.
Yeah.
When it's the two-hour tour and then the parade. So.
Right. Well, and that parade viewing spot is really good there. I assume it's the same one that they're using for the other tours. Mm-hmm. And that's a good spot right there by the bathrooms.
Plus, I think it was a commemorative pin. There was some gifts that you got that they announced in it, too. I want to say maybe it was like a pin, a special pin that you get for this one. But anyways, just very, very fun.
I'm glad that they're doing some variety of tours. I feel like they don't add tours that often. And lately, they've been kind of mixing it up. And I like it.
Mm-hmm. I like it, too. Trader Sam's is offering a new alcoholic beverage flight. Trader Sam's rum flights come in three options: an intro to rum tasting flight with Real McCoy 3-Year, El Dorado 8, and Plantation Original Dark. The premium rum flight with Zaya Gran Reserva, Plantation Pineapple, and Nezion Blanc Agricole Rum. Finally, a masterclass flight with Diplomatico Reserva, Mount Gay XO, and Zabala 23. I apologize if I butchered any of those names.
Which I'm sure we did.
But man, I tell you, okay, I'm not even finished, but there's a couple of those that have like my eyes have gotten wide and sound delicious. But each flight is $85 and includes three muglets and a surfboard tray.
So this is cute.
Muglets are tiny tiki mugs.
Yeah, and they sit in this thing that looks like a surfboard.
It's like a little surfboard tray. It's so cute.
It's very cute. I am not a strong alcohol drinker. I'm more of a, daiquiri kind of person, so this would not be for me, but the little muglets sound awesome.
Rum is in. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not a big rum fan. But, you know, actually, I thought $85 was not a bad deal for getting the glasses and the surfboard base and the drinks.
The one that really piqued by the pineapple one. I love pineapple. Love pineapple. So I think this is fun. I like that they're doing all sorts of different events and fun things like this at Trader Sam's. Trader Sam's is just such a fun, cool place. So I like that it's getting more attention.
Mm-hmm. With the continued closure of the French Market and Mint Julep Bar, there has been a lack of places to get a Mickey beignet. I'm not saying there hasn't been any places, there's just been a lack of variety of that. Well, Hungry Bear Restaurant is now offering this delicious treat for guests to purchase. A 3-pack for $4.99, the same price as the Royal Street Veranda, the other location to get this treat right
now. I thought this was interesting. Correct us if we're wrong, but I had not heard that there was any issues with people getting beignets at Royal Street Veranda. So I don't know if maybe the lines were getting too long or if maybe Royal Street will offer the seasonal flavored beignet and Hungry Bear is going to offer the original. But this kind of surprised me, though, that they, I mean, it makes sense because Hungry Bear does funnel cakes.
Yeah. So they have fryers.
Yeah. So it's in the same, you know, it's kind of in the same, and powdered sugar. It's kind of, you know, it's similar.
Yeah.
Whereas Royal Street Veranda was only serving more savory dishes. And it's a bigger area, lots of seating in Hungry Bear. So it makes, I get it, it makes sense. So I'm just curious if there was, you know, was Royal Street not able to
deal with the demand?
Was demand too high for Royal Street? Were people not understanding that that's where they needed to? I'm curious why they added
Well, the other thing with Hungry Bear is there's just more room for a line. Because Royal Street Veranda, there's not a ton of room.
No.
The Mint Julep Bar, also not really a lot of space. I know that they're supposed to maybe be dealing with that with the renovation, but we'll see. Or I like having more locations for this.
The other thing I'm wondering, too, is this going to be a permanent location for beignets since this will be closer to the exit of Tiana's Bayou Adventure?
Oh.
That's my other question. I've got all sorts of questions around
these beignets. You're bringing great questions today.
Beignets.
See, you take a week off for a Disney cruise and you come back with all these questions.
It's Disney on the brain. I've just been immersed for too long.
There you go.
Well, one of the most iconic Imagineers is getting their own Funko Pop. Bob Gurr, who was instrumental, of course, in the creation of Autopia, Matterhorn, Monorail, so many more Disney attractions, he is being immortalized in plastic as a Funko Pop. No release date at this time, but we will keep you updated.
I saw this on social media, actually on Bob Gurr's Instagram account when this was announced. And it was funny because I had heard that he was working with Funko Pop on something. And then suddenly he is a Funko Pop.
Yes.
Is he holding a Gertini, by the way?
He is holding a Gertini in one hand and he's got his thumb up in the other hand. He's got his iconic red shoes on. So fun. So fun.
This man is a national treasure.
He is. This information was released at WonderCon.
Are you gonna get a Bob Gurr Funko Pop?
I mean, who doesn't need a Bob Gurr Funko Pop? How fun.
I feel like we should get a Bob Gurr Funko Pop and put it here on the set.
There you go.
He could be hovering over us. Well, over in Disney California Adventure, Silly Symphony Swings is down for refurbishment. When we say down, we mean it. The entire structure of the attraction has been disassembled for refurbishment. No word on when this attraction will return. I feel like they do this when they refurbish this.
So, like, to me, the fact that this attraction is getting refurbished, not really a news, you know, not really a news slot worthy story. But the fact that the whole thing is, like,
gone
is just, maybe this is normal and I've just missed it. But
one of the previous refurbishments was like this. They take down the whole thing.
But this was, that was the post, like the post park shutdown refurbishment. So I guess I felt like that was a, I don't know, this just surprised me.
Right. It does seem interesting to me that Disney has an attraction that to fully refurbish it has to be completely disassembled and taken apart.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a fun attraction. I feel like if this much work has to go into it, it may be something that in the future will be replaced because of all the effort going into it. And you know what? That's totally fine because it's fun, but I wouldn't say it's something that you can't get somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, in a bit of sad news, the Walt Disney Company is starting layoffs of 7,000 employees. The layoffs will happen in batches from now until the beginning of summer, with the first set to happen this week, a second set in April, and the last sometime after that. And we actually had some breaking news that the first of the layoffs actually were Hulu and Freeform senior executives. that are facing layoffs this week.
My goodness, it's never fun for anybody to get laid off. No. Let's just be clear. But it is, in a way, kind of nice to hear that they're starting at an executive level, because I feel like a lot of times when companies are laying people off, it's always the grunt people at the bottom. Yeah. So it's nice that there's some executive levels that they're kind of weaning out as well.
I think when Bob Iger announced these layoffs, they did say, and they were clear that they were going to be looking at executive level as well. And, you know, our heart goes out to any and all that are affected by these layoffs. The people, my heart goes out to not only the people being laid off, because that's not fun by any stretch of the imagination, but also for the teams that they've left behind and the people that are then absorbing those additional responsibilities. Right. That's also not a fun, easy place to be in. So our heart goes out to all cast members during this time and this change and all of this.
And I hope that
7,000 is a lot.
And
that's
none of the people we've talked to or had on the show that work for Disney are impacted by this. Mm-hmm. And hopefully their teams aren't too impacted by this either. So.
Your attention, please. DL Weekly Trivia is now leaving for a Grand Circle tour of the Magic Kingdom, with stops at New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Tomorrowland. All weekly tiers board.
Hello and welcome to Trivia Land. How are you two doing today?
Well, I don't know. Trivia, we're going to talk about trivia on the cruise ship. So in our discussion topic. So
full disclosure for everyone listening, I literally just got back today.
Oh, so you're saying.
I don't know if that's going to be helpful or
but
not helpful.
But you've been immersed in Disney for the last few days. So
I have,
it should be.
But I also have post-vacation brain going on.
Sure.
Tired, so we'll see.
Do you think our questions are going to be difficult? That's the question.
I think I'm giving you a very fair shot with one of your favorite attractions this week.
Okay.
So, but I do have a fifth question that I think is less fair.
Ooh, a fifth question. That's unlike you.
I know. I'll explain why as we get through it.
So, all right.
Our first one this week. Is it true or is it a Mandela effect? The Chamber of Destiny in Indiana Jones Adventures used to have moving walls and facade doors to help present the multiple choice aspect of the ride.
True.
The doors did used to rotate, yes.
I'm going with true. All right, number two. What are the three gifts that Mara can grant you?
So there's the earthly riches.
Yeah, I was going to say there's wealth, but yeah.
Yeah, wealth, riches. Earthly riches. There's
fountain
the chamber, Fountain of Youth, and Chamber of Destiny, so like seeing into the future. Right.
Riches.
What's nice is I had a audio file that was part of the 50 years of Imagineering thing that somebody put out on the internet years and years ago. And it had all three of these versions. And it had the, for those of you who may not know this, at the end of the attraction, if it's synced up right,
yes.
Sala should say something to you that relates to that.
Fun.
So there's one about if you need help carrying all of your stuff, all of your loot basically out, or if you need strollers.
My favorite one is if you drink too much from the Fountain of Youth, strollers will be available.
Yeah, we can assist you with strollers. And then I don't remember what the future one was, but
I just always have to listen for the strollers one. I just love that.
It is a funny one.
All right, our third question, this week sent in by listener Ethan K, who must be a mind reader because this question came in today as I was writing the other questions.
Oh.
So timing was fantastic. So the question from Ethan is, how many skulls are in the attraction?
Oh, my.
Wasn't there some ridiculous amount?
It's some ridiculous. Well, think of just that one corner behind the like big mega skull.
I thought we had something similar to this before. Isn't it some ridiculous number like 10,000?
And then
or
think
something?
Of all the different skeleton, like full skeleton. Oh,
I'm going to say 10,000.
10,000.
I think the old question we had was snake replicas.
Oh, snake replicas. Okay.
Yes, we did have snakes.
And now we have working snakes.
I don't think it's 10,000. I think that's way too many. I'm going to say 1,200.
1,200, okay.
All right. Big discrepancy there. All right. Fourth question. One of the skeletons hidden within the temple can be found showing his Disney magic because he's wearing a musketeer hat. What's embroidered on it?
Do you know this one?
Bones.
Yeah, I was going to say, he started it. I already wrote it down.
Yeah, Bones. It's because his name is Bones, right? Like, it's because it's like the name that you'd get embroidered.
I love it. I always like, if I'm sitting on that side,
you say
of the
hi
vehicle,
to him.
I do. I say hi to him. I like swing around as we're going. I'm like, hi, Bones.
I mean, someone needs to give him some lively company because everyone else is probably it's just a pile around him.
Oh, James.
All right. Our last question this week, what I think is probably the most challenging. You talked about Sala's voice lines at the end, but what do you know about Indy's voice lines at the end? He has several different lines after you don't get smushed by the boulder. How many of them can you name?
Something's about Taurus. Next time.
You're on your own.
Next time, you're on your own.
They also have one that says...
Something about, like, keep your eyes closed. You just had to look in the eyes or something.
Next time, you, like, keep your... You got... Yeah, next time... It's something about, like, next time...
Next time, keep your eyes closed.
Or something like that, or you keep your... Yeah. There's one that's, I had it, and then you got me thinking of these other ones, and now I forgot it. No, that's okay. Now, don't tell me that wasn't big fun. That's one of them, and it sounds ridiculous, but it totally is one of them. I don't remember.
Tracy, you ready to give up on that one, too?
Yeah.
Ah, but what else do they know? What are the other lines Indy gives? Because I'll tell you, they didn't get all of them. You brainstormed them along with the rest of the answers, but we'll get to them after we go on a little cruise for this week's discussion topic.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, it's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be like a trip report almost. But obviously, I was not on said trip because Teresa and Vern went on the cruise. So I'm actually just going to kind of facilitate a discussion with Teresa and Vern about their cruise. So welcome to the show, both of you, for this section of the discussion.
Yes, it's my first time here. It's so nice to be here.
So tell us your Disney story, Teresa.
Oh, well, so this, to kind of start off with, I know we talked about this. I think it would maybe have been one of our Patreon bonus episodes, but this was Vern and I's first ever cruise. Never have been on any other ship. Yes, we started probably at the top, tippity top, but I'm okay with it because honestly, cruising never appealed to me until you added Disney into it. And that's what made it more appealing.
Now, taking what you know from this cruise, if you were to strip away the Disney of it, would it still be something that you would do?
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. What about you, Vern?
I mean, by taking away the Disney of it, you mean like all of the plussing that Disney does and all the magic that they bring, et cetera, et cetera. I think that Disney brings enough to the table that makes it more. And I don't know if I would enjoy another cruise as much, honestly.
Would you be open to going on a cruise that was not Disney, I guess, is the ultimate question.
Perhaps. It'd be a harder sell for me.
Yeah, I'm in that same boat of being a harder sell. And I mean, for me, you know, of the two of us, Teresa is by far the bigger Disney nut. I became a Disney nut through exposure to Teresa.
So, just kind of rubbed off.
Yeah. So a lot of my Disney-ness is... a proxy Disney-ness, if you will. But for me personally, I'm not a lounge by the pool getting drunk type of person. And everything that I've heard from a lot of people about cruises is, oh, it's great. You just hang out by the pool all day. And I'm like, well, that's not exciting to me. And sure. When I heard about Disney cruises, I heard, oh, there's all these activities. There's all this Disney stuff you can do. And I was like, okay, I'm more willing to give that a shot. And being on the Disney cruise and being immersed in a whole bunch of Disney stuff, it was more exciting. It was more of an experience. And we never spent any time lounging by the pool drinking because we were too excited doing other things.
That's awesome. Well, hopefully in this discussion, we'll talk about all of those things. So how did you get there? We're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but but the journey to the cruise port is also part of your trip.
It is. It was also a journey in and of itself. So we decided, the cruise was leaving from New Orleans. And so really you have three options. You can drive, you can fly, or you can take the train. And we decided, why not add a little bit more adventure? And so we decided to take the train. So we took the Amtrak from Chicago to New Orleans. If you're wondering why we started in Chicago and not in La Crosse, we could have started in La Crosse, but we drove our dogs down and the dogs stayed with my parents over the time we were gone. So we dropped the dogs off and the closest station was Chicago from there. So took the train from Chicago down. It was They said it was 18 hours, but both on the way down and the way back, we actually got in ahead of schedule, which was awesome.
That is great.
So it was more like 16, 17 hours total. And we decided to opt and splurge and do one of the private rooms in a sleeper car. So we had a roomette, which is the smallest of the rooms. It was perfect for two people, though. And it was very comfortable, relaxing. We had beds so we could actually lay down to sleep. Huge bonus there. Yeah, it was nice.
Vern, what was your train experience?
I enjoyed it. It was my first time being on being in a sleeper car with an Amtrak. I have done short trips, like, you know, little commuter trips on trains before, but this was my first extended time on a train. And I mean, we've driven long distances. Like, we've driven all the way out to California before. We've driven to New Orleans before. And I like driving. I like seeing the country and you know, being able to, you know, when you fly, you don't see anything. You see the inside of the plane. You're there for 3-4 hours, maybe six, whatever, but you don't actually see anything. When you're driving, you get to actually like see the countryside go by. You get to stop in little towns as you get gas, whatnot. And being on the train, it was just so relaxing that there was no focusing on the road. There was no paying attention to driving. It was just stare out the window and watch the world go by. And eventually you get tired and close your eyes and go to sleep. And it was great. Both of us, we kept talking about how this is so nice that we can just kick back and relax and actually enjoy the trip instead of having to pay attention.
Well, and the other thing too that was nice was the boarding process. And like getting on, like, it's way less chaotic than planes.
Sure.
You don't have to be there 2 hours ahead of time because you have to go through TSA and check your luggage, and you have to worry about if there's going to be enough overhead baggage space and, you know, kind of stuff. The bags, I think each person, this is crazy, each person could check two bags and bring two personal bags on, which personal bags, they said, were up to the size of what you would normally check on an airplane.
Wow.
So you could, if you could bring all the stuff in the world if you really, really wanted to. And it was an extra cost, no extra cost to do all that. So, I mean, it was pretty easy. And collecting our bag at the end was a breeze. It wasn't like there was a bazillion bags that you had to try and sift through to find your bag. Yeah, it was wonderful.
How far from the train station was the cruise terminal?
A 10-minute Uber.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
If even that long. Yeah.
So what did you guys do in New Orleans?
So as soon as we got there, we checked into the hotel. They were very kind and allowed us to check in early. We were there about an hour before check-in officially started. But our room was ready, so they let us check in, which I was very thankful. They have showers on the sleeper cars on the Amtrak trains, but I wasn't feeling that adventurous. So because trains move a lot. So they move more than a cruise ship moves back and forth. So I didn't want to have to try showering and not fall over. And yeah, anyways, so waited to do that at the hotel. So we got an early showered and then we ventured out to find some food. And this is not your typical New Orleans style
seafood
restaurant. And it wasn't, there wasn't you think like gumbo, jambalaya, crawfish, you know, all the
oysters,
all that stuff. But we actually stopped at this place that had wonderful reviews on Yelp, wonderful reviews from people that like from locals.
Sure.
Which is, we always tend to go to those places over like the ones that are more, you know, the more touristy. And it was called Gus's World Famous Hot and Spicy Fried Chicken. It was
amazing.
Oh, my gosh. I can't eat, like, I'm sorry, Plaza Inn. No. This is going to sound like so ridiculous. The best. One, hands down, the best fried chicken I've ever had in my life.
I love the chicken at Flo's VA Cafe, but they got nothing on Gus's.
Yeah.
So what made this chicken the best? Was it the seasoning on the outside? Was it the size? What was it?
All of it. Yes, all of the above. So it was very incredibly reasonably priced.
A two-piece with two sides for like $11.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the two-piece, I got two-piece white. Oh, here you go. I'm looking at the menu right now. Two-piece white, which was a breast and a wing, was $11.
Wow.
And the picture that I sent you, I'm like, this doesn't even do this justice. The breast, I don't know how big this chicken was. This is the biggest chicken breast I've ever seen in my life.
Mutant chicken.
Yes, it was like as big as my head. But so the thing that was just phenomenal about Gus's was that everything we ordered, when it came out, they had to have just pulled it out of the fry basket or off the grill or whatever, because it came and it was piping hot, fresh, amazing. So you'd have to actually wait for it to cool down a little bit so you didn't burn your tongue. So everything was just super crisp, super juicy, super, like, you couldn't have gotten it any, like, could not have been any fresher. So the fact that, like, they had that part of their service down, the wait staff was all incredible, very intensive, very, very kind. But yeah, all of the food was just, like, everything. We'd, like, have a bite and just our mind would be blown. So we
fried chicken did it for you.
Yeah, yeah. So we started with fried green tomatoes. And then, like I said, I had the two-piece white. You had the two-piece dark, right, Bern?
That is it.
And then for my sides, I decided to do, it comes with coleslaw and baked beans, but I decided to upgrade and try their fried okra.
Oh.
Which was only...
Which is a staple in the South.
Yeah, which was, and it was only 50 cents extra to upgrade your side. I'm like, this is so reasonable. This is ridiculous. So yeah, everything. Amazing. And then Vern, you had, what were your two sides?
I got the greens and the mac and cheese.
So of everything we tried, my least favorite thing was probably the mac and cheese, but it was still really, really good.
Sure.
It was. I wish I could have like sent some to you somehow. You may not have enjoyed the chicken. The chicken, the spices on the chicken were kind of spicy. So
sure.
It did have a little bit
it
of
it is
a,
in the name,
yeah,
spicy.
It did have a not too bad of a kick, but there was a kick there. But the spice blend on the chicken was really what made it.
I called it a healthy heat.
A healthy heat.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, can
just,
understand
you know, it lets you know it was there. It didn't kick your teeth in or anything, but it was definitely just a nice, healthy warmth.
Mm-hmm. I would try that.
And the greens were excellent. I mean, very flavorful. And, you know, I added a little hot sauce to them because that's what you're supposed to do with good greens.
Yeah, everything was just delicious. After lunch, I ate, or dinner, because we didn't really have lunch. So after lunch, dinner.
Lupper.
I was too full, so we definitely needed to go for a stroll. So we walked down. We stayed in the warehouse district. We walked down to the French Market area. Of course, caught some live jazz on Bourbon Street, as you do when you're in New Orleans. Stopped at a couple of places, listened to a couple of bands, and then decided to call it a night because we had to get up and be ready for our cruise departure in the morning. So we walked back down. We walked back to our hotel down the river instead of going through.
It's a beautiful walk.
It was gorgeous. And we did it. It was at sunset when we were walking too. So it was.
And we didn't talk about this yet. What was the weather like in New Orleans?
Beautiful. It was like, what, mid-70s?
Partly cloudy. It was delightful.
Perfect. We had perfect weather the entire trip.
Well, exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. All right. So.
Oh, I also have to mention, just because I thought it was the like perfect Disney thing, when we got up the next morning, we walked over to breakfast. I looked out the window. They had there was a feral cat. So it was like our hotel had a Disney cat.
Oh, geez. So a feral cat is a Disney cat?
Well, you know, like it was like it reminded me of
like
a Disney
cats
cat.
Okay.
Because like the cats that live in Disneyland. It just reminded me of it because it was like in their garden area. Just
sure.
Like doing its thing, hanging out, just enjoying life. And it was like three steps from the front door.
All right, Vern.
Yes.
The morning of when you first saw the ship, what was that like?
If I'm going to be completely honest, we were in a hurry. We had our bags.
It was very weird.
We're rushing. We're going along. And we, so our hotel, as the crow flies, was as close as you could get to the ship.
Okay.
However, the operative word there is as the crow flies, we were as close as we could get to the ship. There's a massive convention center in between our hotel and the ship that we had to walk around. So we're like, we had plenty of time, but in our minds, we didn't. And we're kind of hurrying and we're excited, you know, and so we've got our bags and we're pushing them along on those little wheels and we're going and we're going and we're going. And there's a gap between two buildings and there's the ship. And I paused and I went, ooh, that's really cool. And then we went back to bustling along and getting everything. So, yes, there was that moment of, wow, look at that. But in the rush of everything, I didn't really take the time to truly appreciate.
Sure. Teresa, did you have the same experience of...
Kind of. We were just, like I said, like Vern said, we were just wanting to, like, we were just so excited wanting to get there. And it felt like it was taking... It didn't take that long. It just felt like forever because we were so excited.
As what
and
happens in these type
of situations.
It's kind of
weird because there's no signs that point you where to go when you're walking. So we started walking around the convention center one way. Our hotel said, oh, actually, if you just cut if, you know, if you can cut through the convention center, that's best. So we popped our heads in there. We asked, and they're like, oh, no, we don't, like, you can't actually get out that side. You have to go around. And he didn't tell me, he didn't tell us which way. So we started going one way. And then another convention center staff person asked if we were, he's like, oh, were you guys getting on the Disney cruise? We said, yeah. He's like, you actually want to go the other way. So then we had to go back from where we came. Yeah. So we put our steps in, that's for sure. And when we walked up from the back, but I was very, very excited.
Oh, that is different.
But we made it, which was the important part. And then we had our first, so again, newbie cruisers, we don't know these. We don't know what to expect. So we're walking up, we're all excited, and we see all sorts of people, you know, all this hustle and bustle of all these cars dropping people off and people grabbing luggage and whatever. And we're walking across the street. There's a bus that had just let a bunch of people out. And so there's this guy coming kind of towards us with a cart. I thought he was going over to the bus to help unload the luggage from the bus to get on the ship. And we're just trying to make our way to the cruise terminal. And he's a very friendly guy, starts, you know, chatting with us. And he says, I'm coming. Something like, basically he was coming. So he's like, oh yeah, he was one of the porters, which we now know is okay. Like, we understand the situation now, but we were just kind of like caught up at this is so embarrassing. I don't know why I'm telling this story. We're caught up in the moment of it. He's like, oh yeah, I'll take your bags right to your room. No problem. We're like, okay. And like, give him all of our stuff. And then after we kind of split, we're like, oh, he does work here, right? Like, we didn't just give our bags to some, who knows, you know. But yeah, no, he worked there. It was fine. But we did have a moment of panic. Like, that was maybe a very dumb thing we just did. But for those of you that don't cruise, that is a total normal thing. Oh, yeah. But we, like I said, no experience with that. So we're like,
sure,
this could have just been anybody. But anyway.
How was the check-in process? Because I feel like Disney might do it a little different than some other.
So the check-in process was interesting. We did have to sign up online to get a like specific time, port arrival time. We were early because we weren't quite sure how to get back there. And we wanted to make sure we had plenty of time. But thankfully for us, they were also running ahead of schedule with their port arrival time. So our port arrival time was 12:15. We got there. It was probably like 11:15, 11:30. So we were really early. We only had to wait outside for maybe 15 minutes before they said, OK, the 12:15 group can come. You had to have your tickets or your boarding passes or whatever you want to call it. We had ours printed because it said, please print these. Mm. So I printed it, but everyone had their apps out and they were able to use their apps. So the weird thing was if you do transportation through Disney to the port, they had priority. So we had to stand and wait off to, even though it was a 12:15 thing, we had to stand and wait off to the side until they made sure that all of the Disney transportation people went through. So once the Disney transportation people went through, then we were allowed through. There was like a little kind of like security check for our carry-on bags, and then we had to go to like a counter. They checked us in, checked our passports, and then we had to wait, I don't know, maybe another 10 minutes for then it to be our time, the time to call for us to get on the ship.
During the check-in process, now the ones that I've got on, that's when they give you like your room key and stuff like that. Did they give you anything, or is it all in the app?
No.
Is that later?
Yeah, later. We get the room key later, so you don't. They just check you in.
Oh, interesting.
They made sure we had they made sure to explain the app, that download the app, get on the Wi-Fi, all that kind of stuff. So then when it was our time to board the ship, well, then we got into a new line. Vern was joking. He's like, well, we know it's a Disney vacation. We've already been in umpteen lines.
Yeah, right.
So then boarding the ship was real easy. You do have like, they do have a little photo op thing before you get on the ship, just with backdrops. And
they announced you guys, right? Because they don't, is that like a big thing on Disney cruises? They're like, the Urban Wiesenthal family.
Yes. However, it was a little weird because I told Vern, I'm like, Vern, we need to make sure we get a video of this. I'm all excited. And he's like, okay. Like, this is the one thing I want to like have a video, kind of like the wedding. Like the one thing I was so excited about was getting a coffee with bride on it. I just get fixated on these weird things. That was the weird thing that I was all like, we need to get a video. I'm so excited about this. So you would think, one would think it's like as you get on the boat. Nope, it did not happen as we got on the boat. And then I thought, oh, it'll happen as we get like to the inside, because you like walk onto the deck.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. They'll do it from when we go from the deck to the inside part. And then we are in the inside part. I'm like, nope, still not. We were like a quarter of the way around the atrium when they then stop you and ask how you want to be announced and then go. And it was a very quick process. So those of you that are nutty like me and want to get a video of that, we almost missed getting the video of it because it's very quick. It is not quite the big grand like.
Sure.
You don't really have a moment. Well, they're getting
thousands of people on the
ship. You have a fraction of a moment. But it was fun because we had Goofy was in the elevator. They had the glass elevators that face inside the atrium. He was in the elevator waving at people. Pluto was on one of the balconies waving at people. They had their little seafaring outfits on. Sure. They were very cute. So it was very fun. So then that happened. And then we're kind of like, now what? What do we do now? Because, of course, your room's not open right away. So they directed us to, you know, there's two different lunch options. You could either do table service or you could go up to the buffet. We opted to do the table service.
Mm. How was your entry? Was Teresa, for me, traveling with Teresa, I feel like I can imagine being in this, you got to get a video of this.
Yeah. From my viewpoint, my memory of it all, she was being a little kinder in her description.
Okay.
My, I'm glad that was reality, maybe.
My experience in Port of New Orleans was the least Disney I've ever seen Disney be.
Because it isn't Disney.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it was a little chaotic in the actual getting us to the boat.
Sure.
Getting those cues together. And I understand that they had to give some priority to the people that had the priority status, whatnot. But getting those cues queued up was less than I normally expect out of a Disney experience.
Yeah, so like what he's talking about. So there was two people at the outdoor queue. The person that was like the gatekeeper was like, nope, only Disney. I don't even remember what they called it. Only Disney transportation.
Sure.
And so, but all these people kept coming up and like he would stop it. Like, did you take Disney transportation? No. And he kept pushing them to the side. Then finally, somebody in that line that had been sent forward by the other guy at the other end that like let you into the queue said, you need to tell that guy over there that you're only doing Disney transportation because he's telling like as long as you're in this boarding group to come. So they were just a little discombobulated.
Now, we've talked on the show before of the D23 Expo is the least like Disney thing. Is this better or worse than the D23 Expo?
It was better.
Okay. Because the D23 Expo is a little chaotic as well.
Yeah. No, it was better. Only because it was smaller. If this would have been the same thing D23 scale, then probably comparable. But it wasn't terrible. And the other problem, too, is you had a lot of families that were like us that were very excited. And so you kind of get in that like brain of, and not all of the people were maybe paying attention to make sure to direct people to where they needed to go. Because there was one part where we were in the wrong queue. We were actually in the exit instead of the entry. Not realizing it because nobody pointed us where to go. Yeah. So there was just some kind of goofy things like that. But overall, I thought it was okay.
So, Vern, what was your first impression getting on the boat?
Oh, getting on the boat was beautiful. They let us up on the gangplank and we come in through what I now know to be the hallway of deck 4. And, at the time, I just knew that they were shoving me down a hallway. But and we come along and we're just getting shuffled along. And then I see it opens into atrium and I see the chandeliers hanging down and just the grandness of atrium and all of its stunning beauty. And I'm just kind of, a little awestruck. I'm like, wow, it's here. And, I'm here. And look at all of it. It's all shiny and glittery. And then I'm finally seeing it with my own eyes. No more pictures, no more videos. It's here. It's in front of me. And I'm hearing the voice over the speakers, welcome the blah, blah, blah family. And welcome this family and welcome that family. And then there's Teresa tugging at my arm. Get your phone out. We got to take a video. And I'm like, calm down. I'm getting a video. And then she's telling them what names to yell. And are you taking a video? Yes, I'm taking a video. And
like, it's now.
and we take a video, or I'm taking a video as they're saying our names. And there we are. We're on the ship. And then we realize we have no bags. We can't get in our room. What are we going to do? Let's go eat. So we did.
It's what you do on a cruise ship. And so I'm unfamiliar with the specifics of certain ships. What was each Disney ship has kind of their partner's kind of statue thing.
Oh, yeah.
What was yours?
This is Mickey at the helm.
Okay.
Basically.
Because, like, the Disney Wish, like, it has the, what, Cinderella,
yeah,
right?
Cinderella.
Okay. So this one was Mickey at the helm.
Mickey at the helm.
Yep. Cool. So how did you pick where to go eat then? Like, what made you decide to sit down versus buffet or something?
Again, being new to cruises, the thought of buffets not always... The buffets we have here locally are not the greatest.
Sure.
So when we think buffet, we don't think necessarily delicious, high-quality food.
Sure. But, I told you though on a cruise ship.
But sit-down, delicious, high-quality
sure.
food. So we decided to go. The lunch was at Rapunzel's Royal Table. So we went in. They asked, I think, They needed to see our keys or our boarding paper and need to know what room number we were to kind of like check us in. We got seated at a table. They sat us at a table. We had our own table, which was nice. There were, of course, families at tables next to us, but we had our own table to start with. And yeah, it was phenomenal. Like, first of all, highly themed restaurant. This is one of the rotational dining locations. So as you can imagine, Rapunzel's Royal Table is, you guessed it, Rapunzel themed and beautiful. The tableware that we had was Tangled inspired and was adorable. Even the bread service, like the bowl that they put the bread service in, had Tangled characters etched in it or cut out in it. Just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. For lunch, you could choose from they had starters, entrees, and desserts. I just had a salad for a starter. I know, very exciting. But then I had... it was a sirloin steak with a twice-baked potato and green beans for my main course. And then I opted for the carrot cake for dessert.
What did you have, Vern?
I had a...
You had a no.
I don't know.
It was
an
empanada.
Oh, that's right. I had an empanada and I had a salmon steak on a bed of arugula with vinaigrette and tomatoes. And it was delicious. I accidentally became a pescatarian during
yes,
this trip.
Did.
They had so many delicious seafood dishes available for pretty much every meal. And we don't have really good seafood restaurants in our area. So I just kept ordering everything seafood. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome.
I mean, that sounds like what I do, too, because, you know, you're getting a lot of that seafood from the New Orleans port. So, of course, it's going to be amazing and good.
Yes.
Was this your... This
yeah,
was your.
That's my steak and salad.
That looks really good.
It was really like it was one of those. We had lunch and I was just like, oh, we are going to eat well for the next few days.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the best things about a cruise is the food mm-hmm. is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do after that?
So after the meal, we decided to go. Well, during the meal, we pulled up the Navigator app. So all of the daily activities you can find within the app. So we pulled up the app to try and see what the different activities were to kind of try and plan the rest of our day out. We then also found out that our dining that evening would be at, well, I found this out before and that's why I was okay with it. I'm just such a nerd. So our dining location that evening was going to be Rapunzel's Royal Table. So I was okay with going there for lunch because I felt like I wasn't going to spoil.
Sure.
Like it wasn't like, I wasn't going to know what it was, you know, so it was fine. So we decided to kind of look through the app, figure out what we wanted to do. That was a great thought. We didn't actually do the things that we picked because we got distracted doing other things.
You guys distracted?
Yeah.
No.
Distracted exploring the ship is what we ended up doing. Because there was...
You have to do that.
They had a tour. There was a tour at like 3:00 or something.
And
a walking tour of the ship that we like liked in the app to try and remember to do. But then we got distracted wandering the ship on our own that we missed going on the tour, which... was totally fine. One of the first places we checked out was the adults only area, which is the Quiet Cove, which has its own bar signals. There's a coffee bar up there. Of course, that was one of my favorite places, called the Cove Cafe. The Senses Spa is back there too.
Did you have to pay for coffee on your trip?
For the fancy coffee.
Okay.
Yes. For my fancy coffee at Cove Cafe, yes. Otherwise, yeah, coffee was unlimited.
Oh, gotcha.
Elsewhere. Then we were wandering the deck 9, which is like the pool deck, we found the unlimited soft serve. So clearly we had to stop and have soft serve. However, it was called ice cream, as in like Mike Wazowski.
Oh,
ice
sure.
Scream. It was very cute. So that was every day.
That's another thing.
Stopped.
about cruises is you've got the food and stuff like that, but it also seems like soft serve is like a staple of cruising, by the way. So it's good that Disney also has this, mm-hmm. which would totally not make sense if they didn't, just considering their clientele.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. And the thing that was fun about the soft serve, too, we didn't realize this until the second day. So Vern may have accidentally figured this out when we first stopped because he got soft serve. I didn't because I was still full from lunch. And he did a twist, and there were two machines.
Okay.
There was the one was being used, so he went to the other one. And he was joking. He's like, this kind of tastes. He's like, this just doesn't taste right up here. He's like, I think it's everyone spraying their sunscreen, and I'm getting that like kind of like tropical-y, like almost like a banana-y flavor because he got a twist. And so like I ate both. I'm like, yeah, I see what you're saying. And like I ate just the what we thought was vanilla. I'm like, well, now I cut. Anyways, we're going back and forth on this. Well, the next day we realized that there's two machines for a reason, because the machine on the right, which is not the one we used, is always vanilla and chocolate, and okay. then you can swirl it. The machine on the left, though, is chocolate and whatever flavor they're choosing, which the next day it was mango. The day after that was pineapple coconut. Oh. And the day after that was banana. So when it was banana, okay. I looked at Brian and said, I wonder if it was, maybe it was like banana or something. Birthday. So it was some sort of a flavored gotcha. Soft serve when we thought it was vanilla. And here we thought we were blaming
the sunscreen.
So it was
not sunscreen ice cream.
It was not the sunscreen ice cream. Okay. No. And we weren't accidentally eating people's overspray either. So anyways, we continued exploring and we found the Walt Disney Theater, which yep. gorgeous outside of that area. Gorgeous, gorgeous. The shops were right there, too, like the merchandise shops. But of course, you can't go in them yet because we were still in port. Well, then we got notification that our room was ready. So how you get your key to the world card is you go to your room. And they have it outside of your room in a sealed envelope.
Oh, interesting.
For you. So, I mean, I guess they're very trusting that nobody's going to take it, because your key to the world card is not only your room card, but it's also kind of like your ship identification. And it's what you use to pay for yeah. things on the ship. So like when I was getting my coffee at Cove Cafe, they scan my room card to charge the room.
And did that come through what your room was ready as a notification from the Navigator app?
I think we went early because other people found out that their rooms were ready. Ah. So we decided to just go check.
Gotcha.
And it was ready.
Where was your room?
We were on the second deck midship.
Cool. Now, I don't want to get like out of order or anything, but how was the feeling of sleep in there? Because usually middle of the ship, you're not going to have as much moving around. Also lower down, you're not going to have as much moving around. So you guys should have had a pretty stable
yeah, it was pretty
sleeping yeah, situation.
Yeah. There was at times that you could feel a little bit, but yeah, no, overall it was pretty.
Did either of you throughout the entire cruise have any issues with the boat moving in a way that got you feeling uneasy or anything?
Not during the cruise. Now I still feel like I'm on the boat.
I blame the train for that, though, because the train had way more movement. No, neither of us had any sort of issues with, like, seasickness or anything like that. There were times that we kind of would be laughing because, like, we were sitting on one of the nights watching one of the performances in the theater, and the theater is at the back of the boat.
Yep.
So the back of the boat moves quite a bit, and we're sitting there, and it's kind of feeling like we're going up, you know, moving up and down. Then I'm like, well, maybe just as like it feels like it's more than it is. Then I looked up and I could see the chandelier.
Oh yeah,
on the stage swaying back and forth, which then gave like a whole new level of respect to those actors that were having to sing and dance and run around the stage with all of the bouncing. I was like, man.
So great question. So one of the things that they're known for is their like sail away parties. How was mm-hmm. that?
Sail away party was fun.
Yeah,
it was cute. I was really excited.
Was there a theme?
Mickey's Sail Away Party.
Oh.
So they had inflatable like Mickey hands on deck 10,
okay.
which was like the top deck for us. They had the funnel vision was on. We actually got a really nice spot. We were on deck 10 and we were towards the middle. So we had a pretty nice clear second row, though there were families in front of us. But
sure.
still really nice, fun thing. It was mainly a dance party. Of course, all the characters came out and danced. And then they had like what confetti cannons, and then of course the classic ship horn, which this one is when you wish upon a star.
Aw, was that cool? You probably got chills,
cool.
right?
It was very cool.
Disney magic. That's cool.
It was very fun. So then after the Sail Away party, since I had looked at my handy dandy navigator app, I knew that it was happy hour over at Signals. And since I was one of the few places we had explored was the adults only area, we went over and grabbed drinks at Signals. We did every day. We stopped and got the drink of the day, okay, which I think was only $6.
It's an adult beverage?
Yeah, adult beverage. I think it was only $6, and each day the drink of the day, of course, was different.
Sure. There is an alcoholic version and a non-alcoholic version of the drink of the day.
Or a non. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this was a terrible thing, Vern. We should have screenshot which each one was. They were all delicious. There was not one that we had. There was one day that was a little tart, so you had to kind of let ice melt a little bit, and that kind of mellowed it out. But other than that, it was delicious.
That was the guava one.
Yeah, that was the guava one.
Too guava-y.
But still delicious. Then after that, we went down to our room. Because when we went to our room the first time, only one of our bags arrived, which did not help the uneasiness we were already feeling about if we were just those idiots that just gave our luggage away to the wrong person. So only one showed up. So we went back to the room, made sure we had all of our bags had been delivered at that point. We decorated our door.
Now pause. So I want to try to hit some things like all together at certain points. So what was your room like?
Amazing.
Okay.
So we had it was called a deluxe ocean view stateroom. Okay. I don't know why deluxe, but it was an ocean view stateroom. We were probably like a little down from the elevator. Not a terrible amount. Also not too far, not too close.
Sure.
It was actually a really perfect location, I thought.
You don't want to be too close to the elevator because that's a lot of noise.
Right. And it wasn't too far that it was like, oh, days later, here we are at the elevator.
Yes.
But I would estimate we were about halfway between the mid and aft elevators.
Yeah. So we usually used the mid elevator, which then got us right, of course, the mid of the ship, which a lot of the activities and things were not too far off the mid. So it was a really good location. But queen size bed. We each had bedside tables on either side. And then there was also like a seating area with a full size couch. There was a desk over there. Big porthole to be able to look out from. The only thing that was a little odd was outlet locations. The only outlets were actually at the desk. So when we had to charge our phones overnight, our phones were actually charging on the desk instead of next to your
bed. That's pretty common in a cruise.
Next to your bed, but that wasn't... There were outlets, but they weren't outlets. There were things, but they weren't outlets that we could use.
Right.
And then I was a little nervous because I did bring my hair dryer with me. They have hair dryers for you. But the outlets that were in each of the bathrooms, so the bathroom split. You've got a bathroom that's your tub and your shower and a sink. And then your other bathroom is the toilet and the other sink vanity area, which is really nice for brushing teeth because when we each had our own area and getting ready in the morning. But
Somebody could be showering while somebody else is getting ready. Yeah.
And but then those in there were outlets in there, but they specifically said razors only, so I didn't want to be that person to
blow out
something that wasn't a rate. So I just dried my hair in the main area, which was totally fine. But honestly, overall space wise, it was perfect for two people. I did not feel ever that we were like crunched. The only quote unquote tight spot that you could only have one person go through was the foot of the bed.
Yeah, other that's than pretty
that,
typical.
Yeah, other than that, totally, you could easily get around. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was really, really nice. Now, we were saying on the last night as we were falling asleep that two was like perfect. Never did we feel like we were on top of it. I don't know how people do it.
Oh, the second deck?
No. As far as like in the
room. Oh, two people in there.
Two people in the room was great. Four people would have been tough because then you would have had this whole area would have been
because the couch would have been taken out. Yep.
And so then you would have felt a little more like you had squeaked by each other and all that stuff. But it was really comfortable.
But you're not spending a lot of time in your room anyway.
No.
Yeah. Cool. What did you think of the room, Vern?
I really thought it was a great room. I mean, besides that choke point at the end of the bed where every now and then we had to kind of do the squeeze past each other move, you know. I mean, overall, it was a great space. I started a year ago keeping a travel journal every time that we go anywhere.
where it's just a Google Doc that I keep up on my computer. And, you know, just every day I kind of write down what we did for the day, whatever, you know. And so on this trip, I just kept my computer open on the desk. And every time that we did stop by the room, I'd quick jot down everything that we had done since the last entry. You know, I just reread the last sentence and be like, okay, what have we done since then? Okay, type, 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 type. This is everything that we did. Okay, let's go do something else. But, you know, during that time, Teresa would be sitting on the couch, you know, looking at the next thing up coming up on the app that we wanted to go do, or, you know, whatever she was doing. And we had more than enough space that we each kind of had our own stretch out our legs and relax area, you know, and it was nice having the two separate little commode-ish areas. Cause, you know, at night getting ready for bed, we each had our own sink, everything. I mean, overall it was the smallest space that I've ever stayed in, but the most spacious use of the space. Mm-hmm. It was very well done. I was impressed with it.
Yeah.
Tons of storage too.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Now, did you guys ever utilize room service? Because one of the things I heard about the Disney Cruise Line is that you can get room service for free, because a lot of other cruises, usually you can get breakfast for free or some limited breakfast, but usually other meals cost money.
Yeah.
So
we
Vern's laughing about this.
Yeah, because that was like one of our, like, we had a lot of kind of like to-dos, like things that we wanted to do, and we wanted to specifically order something that's off menu from room service, and we didn't have a chance and kept forgetting to do it, and we didn't do it until the last night, literally the last night, the last possible time to have done this. We ordered Mickey premium bars through room service.
So it's not on the menu, but they will bring it to you.
Yes,
it's not on any menu, but if, like, you ask for it,
officially
you can
get off menu, but they will they will bring you Mickey premium ice cream.
Did you
bars.
Just forget about this? Is that what you?
No, we were just always too full after dinner, or we were having our soft serve after lunch, and just we were too busy having fun with activities and such.
We just persistently always had something else going on that we never actually prioritized it.
Sure.
And then finally we're like, oh my goodness, this is our last night. We have to do this or we're not doing it.
Sure.
And we had always heard the legend of, if you go on a Disney cruise, you can order room service of Mickey premium bars and they just bring them to you. It doesn't even cost you anything. And so we're like, well, we've got to do this.
You're like, this is like a $6 thing at Disneyland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all it cost us was tipping the guy that delivered it.
Yeah.
Wow. How long did it take from ordering to getting your premium bar?
Oh my gosh.
Five minutes.
They told us like 20 minutes, and then Vern was going, you opened the door for some reason, I don't remember why, and the guy was there, and he's like, oh! I don't remember if we were, because it was the last night, so I don't remember if we were taking magnets off the door or something that, but yeah, it was a poof, there he was.
So, staying in the room theme here, so you did the fish extender thing, so how was that process for you guys?
The fish extender was really fun. So we decorated our door with magnets. So here are the fun little magnets that I made. And of course, was supporting DL Weekly and had the DL Weekly magnet on our door as well.
And business cards.
Yes, and we had a little business card holder with the DL Weekly business cards out too. It was pretty fun. So we might have some new weekly tiers that were on the cruise that are listening for their first episode now. But, and then the fish extender itself. So here, there's your fish.
Teresa's showing me photos,
I'm showing
by the
photos.
Way.
Can we put these in the episode notes?
Is
there a better way to?
Well, the other thing is you could make a separate, like Vern could do a separate Google album and you could just share that album.
Maybe we'll
I can put that link in the show notes.
We'll put together a little album and have the link in the show notes of things that we talked about. But yeah, so there's the fish extender. And so,
by the way, I love that you themed it to your wedding stuff of the up mailbox.
Yeah, we did the up mailbox was the theme for our fish extender. I was pretty proud because did not see anybody else have that same design on their
there
fish
you
extender.
Go.
And I thought that was a pretty...
Yeah, it's true. I never did notice
pretty
that.
Pretty easy and good.
What percentage of other doors...
Oh, not
wait,
me.
Wait, had no decorations?
Probably 50%.
Really?
Oh, mm-hmm. I'd say... Well... Fish extenders, I'd say, was
decoration.
I know. I'm saying, like, fish extenders was like 1 out of 6 to 1 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And any decoration at all, it's like 40 to 50%.
Wow.
Yeah.
For some reason, I expected it to be like almost everybody, because it just seemed like one of those things that is kind of like one of those it's what you do on a Disney cruise. So that's interesting that there was some people who didn't do that. I'm surprised.
I think there's a lot of first time cruisers on the cruise as well that maybe, you know, maybe they weren't like me and dove headfirst into all of it and learned all the stuff ahead of time and they learned about it while on the cruise. But it was still fun. So yeah, so the fish extender thing was fun. We were in a small group. It was us with three other staterooms. So we decided to gift our things. I think we did it after dinner the first night so that they'd wake up to their gifts was the thought process. Funny story with that, though. It's a Disney cruise, so children do not have bedtimes, and their kids' club stays open pretty late. So I was actually stuffing people's gifts in their fish extender, and then these two kids came up. They were preteen kind of ages. Sure. And the little girl's kind of looking at us like, what are you, like, she was confused and kind of like concerned and like,
why are you putting stuff in our bed?
Yeah, why are
she
you
was like defensive. She's kind of like, why are you
messing?
Doing?
Yeah, why are you messing with our door kind of a thing? And so I kind of just like, oh, these are just fun little gifts for you. And then she probably could see what it was we were doing because she came up from behind us.
Sure.
And she's like, oh, thank you. So it's just really funny. I'm like, well, that wasn't very sneaky. We didn't get, you know, here we are trying to do it late. So we surprise them in the morning and they're still awake.
Now, knowing what you consider, what was late?
Well, it was after. So we had the late dinner.
Okay.
So this is probably like 11.
Oh, okay. So it was pretty late.
No, we were on vacation time, Tag. Yeah. This wasn't my usual bedtime of 8:30.
It's probably like 11,
but Therese
11:30.
Also gets tired at like 9, 9:30. Yeah. And that doesn't change for James when we go on a cruise.
We had we had late dining, though. So dining started at 8:15.
Oh, my goodness.
We didn't get done with dinner until
did you pick
about
that?
10.
Or did they assign it to
you? No, that's what they assigned us to, which 100, like, I'm so glad that we did it that way. I'm really glad that we didn't feel like it didn't feel too late to me, which I was afraid we were going to have like lunch and second lunch to make it to dinner, but we didn't.
Now, you just said something that I want to ask you about, because when you guys are a little healthier than I am, I won't throw James under the bus, but I will throw myself under the bus. You're a little bit healthier than I am when it comes to eating copious amounts of food. So when I go on a cruise, I have like lunch and second lunch and dinner and second dinner. What was that like for you? Did you guys find yourselves just sticking to eating one lunch and eating one dinner? Or did you you had a late dinner. So
we didn't have
lunchtime,
second dinner,
did you end up like swinging through the buffet sometimes and just grabbing a couple little things?
So do we want to talk about food?
I'm
going to
lump all
week.
Of the food together in one thing.
Oh, it's a lot to talk
That's
about.
That's what I mean. I want to put them all kind of together.
So, yeah. So are we going
to? But we can talk about this part. Like, I don't need you to talk about the specifics. Just my question.
Okay. No, we did not. So we would get up. We'd have breakfast. And then we would have ourselves like booked with all sorts of activities. So on the ship days, booked with all sorts of activities. So much so to the point that we would like find ourselves, oh, we have 30 minutes in between the end of this thing and the beginning of that thing.
Sure.
Let's sprint up, grab something, and then come right back down to do our activities. Sometimes we would do like a snack, since we would just run and grab lunch. Like one of the days we ran and grabbed something light. So then we went back up and grabbed a snack later, probably like 3, 4 o'clock. And then dinner, yeah, no, we did not need two dinners.
Sure.
And then usually in there too, we had our soft serve in like midday.
Sure. So you did have like little things, not like a full other meal.
We were big fans of snacks.
Gotcha.
Lots
yeah, because yeah, because for
snacks.
Us, we usually do like the early dinner, so like 6. Mm. So then come like 9, we'd swing through the buffet and just grab a couple little things.
Sure.
And then, you know, if we stayed up late and it was around like midnight, maybe we'd grab another little thing because the buffets stay open pretty late.
Not on Disney
because kids, right?
So the
what
buffets
is open late?
The things that are open later, like they have like, so there's the buffet.
Okay.
So we were on the Magic. I don't think we have gone over that yet. Our cruise was on the Disney Magic, which was the original cruise ship. It is also the smallest of the cruise ships. So it's got the least amount in dining options. There are 3 table service dining, like dining rooms that you do your rotational dining through. And then there was 1 buffet, Cabanas. And then there were 3 or 4 quick service type places.
Sure. Like hot dog, pizza, that kind of thing.
So the quick service type places had the more extended hours.
Sure.
Cabanas, the buffet, was open for a long time for breakfast, but it was only a 2-hour period for lunch.
Oh.
And not open for dinner at all.
So interesting.
You had to eat either at your dining location, your you know, your dinner location for the evening, one of the quick service spots, or also room service. Room service was available, I think, at all hours.
That's really interesting, because all the cruises we've ever been on, the buffet is also generally open for dinner, so that you could be like an alternate option for dinner.
Sure.
So that's interesting. We'll get to the food. I want to finish up on some of the other things that you did, because I think food is going to take like all of next week's episode. So for this week, we've talked about your room. Let's just talk about some of the activities. What were some of the activities you guys did? Because depending on what cruise you go on, activities are all over the place.
Yeah. So we did one of the big activities, not really an activity, but one of the big things was there was a show every night.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The first night it was Tangled the Musical. We had a very heavily
tangled day.
We had a very heavy themed Rapunzel tangled day, because we ate lunch at Rapunzel's Royal Table. We had our show was Tangled live
in the Walt Disney Theater.
In the Walt Disney Theater. And then our dinner was back at Rapunzel's Royal Table, which the little show that went along with that. So there were two shows. We saw two Rapunzel shows, the stage show, and then also the show during dinner, which it was Rapunzel's birthday was.
Okay, so it wasn't like another section of the movie
replayed. We heard the same songs twice.
Oh, okay.
A couple same songs twice, but that was fine. But the shows were really great. The best show, though, was Disney Dreams. The show on the last night was so good. So like, if you are going to only see one show when you are on that ship, that is the show to see.
What is it about?
It was cute. It was an original story, and it was about this little girl who is like all nervous because the next day is the first day of middle school.
Okay.
And it was some sort of like the blue fairy came in and basically like, if you don't learn how to believe in yourself and believe in magic, like you're going to grow up and be an adult and you're going to forget magic. And so she didn't want to forget magic. And it was all sorts of different things in her room kind of came to life, and they tied in so many different Disney stories and characters and themes and like magical moments of stuff. Peter Pan's kind of her guide through this. So Peter is the first one that comes in. So her whole thing is she needs to learn how to fly before the clock strikes six. All did she see? She saw Frozen characters. Olaf was there. Anna, Elsa, three songs from them. I mean, it was just packed full of music.
How long was the show?
Hour.
A little over an hour.
Really? They packed a lot into that.
Nonstop.
They had original songs, and then they had all of like Beauty and the Beast. So there were two songs. Yeah, two songs from Beauty and the Beast, two songs from The Little Mermaid. Who else did she see?
There was Aladdin.
Aladdin was
Cinderella.
Two songs
Lion
from
King.
Aladdin. One song from Cinderella.
Vern, are you reading this from your travel journal?
Maybe.
No, I think it's a great resource.
That's perfect.
But now, what was the other show? You said that there was the Rapunzel show. There was this.
Oh, and then the other one was called like a Cinderella, A Twist in Time, which was interesting. It was a twist on the classic Cinderella story. And so it was basically what would happen if the evil stepmother also had a fairy godmother.
Oh.
And so, of course, she had a wicked fairy godmother or godfather.
Sure.
And her wish was to undo Cinderella's happy ending.
Oh.
And so, yeah, that one was cool because there was magic and pyrotechnics. And it was, just an original story twist on a classic story.
That's interesting, because this reminds me, from your description, reminds me of like Wicked, right? Like you kind of take the other side.
You didn't feel bad for them, though. Like, you felt for Elphaba and Wicked, but yeah.
Teresa, not to correct you or anything, but it was Twice Enchanted.
Oh, Twice Enchanted.
That's cool, though. That sounds like a cool show.
It was good.
Well, we've gone so long on this part, we're going to go ahead and that is what we're going to talk about for this week. Next week, we will talk about all of the different food.
And more activities. We didn't even touch on the activities yet.
But I just looked at the clock and we've been talking for a long, long time and we don't want to make the episode too long.
And our port adventure. Thankfully, there was only one port, so that's not going to take too long.
You have a port? Oh, yes, of course. All right. So next week, we'll continue our conversation with Teresa and Vern about their cool Disney trip.
Looks like we're coming in for a landing, gang. But please stay listening until trivia comes to a stop. And then yous can walk to the nearest exit. Thanks for listening to the 8th Wonder of the World, DL Weekly.
So we also have a piece of feedback before we get to our thing there. This came from Catherine, who was a former cast member of 10 years at Disneyland, is a legacy Magic Key holder and lifetime Disneyland fan, who wrote in to say, I just wanted to comment on the trivia portion of the show. The question regarding the names of the Jungle Cruise boats was a bit unfair. Since your podcast is on Disneyland, the answer should have just been the names of the Disneyland Jungle Cruise boats. The answer your trivia host gave reflected a cross-section of the names of the boats globally across all Disney parks, with attractions or about 49 or so boats in total. So you guys were right. Disneyland does have a Congo Queen, and it was painted in gold for Disney's 50th. I feel like trivia should be Disneyland-centric. That's what your podcast covers. So here are the names of the Disneyland Park Jungle Cruise boats. There's the Congo Queen, the Amazon Belle, the Ganges Gal, the Hondo Hattie, the Irrawaddy Woman, the Kissimmee Kate, the Nile Princess, the Orinoco Adventuress, the Swanee Lady, the Ucayali Una, which is wheelchair accessible, the Yangtze Lotus, and the Zambezi Miss. So thank you, Catherine, for sending that in. Because it got complicated. Even when we did some research during that question, it seemed like there was a lot of different answers and stuff. So thank you for that feedback.
We got it directly from a skipper. So we know they know their boats.
Yep. Can we talk about the excitement that there are 49 Jungle Cruise boats that we need to go on at some point?
Oh, wow.
That's a lot
That's
of boats.
James' new bucket list item is to go on all Jungle Cruise boats.
I don't think I've been on all the Jungle Cruise boats in Disneyland yet.
I'm a terrible person. I don't think I've paid too terribly close attention. I watch them as they go past and notice the names then. I don't think I get too excited and distracted when I'm
sure
it's my turn to get on the boat.
Because you're trying to get on the boat.
Yeah, so I don't actually look at the name of, like, I am on this, you know, I don't Same. Always know which boat I'm on.
So I think we need to tell a cast member, we want to be on all of the boats, so we just need to kind of cycle through. All right, let's go back to Trivia Land, where we can find out the answers to our indie stuff.
Yeah, what an adventure we went on, huh?
I mean, I don't know what's more of an adventure, Teresa and Vern's cruise or Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones was definitely more bumpy.
Bumpy.
That's a win, because expectations are high in those choppy waters that people think that the cruise boats are moving. But that's for a future discussion, right? Let's get to the answers. Our first question, is it true or is it a Mandela effect? The Chamber of Destiny and Indiana Jones Adventure used to have moving walls and facade doors to help present the multiple choice aspect of the ride. You both said true. It is indeed true. The effect has been deactivated and replaced just with the projection technology.
Yeah, I think this is one of those situations where, because I remember it working, one of the things you were supposed to see that was kind of cool from that is that section of mirrors that's there used to move, so it would kind of deflect from being able to see that that's what was happening. And it was pretty cool, but I think if you think about how heavy those doors must be to move and the mechanism and stuff like that, and with how good the projections are now, I think it's really cool.
I don't know. I never got to experience that. And the things that I've heard and like what I have in my mind sounds so cool. So much cooler than the projections.
Yeah. It's really not much different than what you see now. The only difference is those three doors, they literally just rotated or pivoted between the three.
Did you get to see them change, or they just change? Oh, I thought like it would.
No, because the what you would see is if you paid attention, you might go in the left door one time, and then the next time you might go in the right door, and another time you might go in the middle door. Now it's stationary, so you're always going through the middle door, but the projection makes the middle door look like a different door.
Yeah.
But the other one was you sometimes would go in the far left, and sometimes you'd go in the far right, and sometimes you'd go in the middle. So it really sold the idea that you could be going in one of the three different ways, where now it's always the middle door, but it looks like the middle door has changed to a different door. So it kind of kills the effect a little bit.
Yeah, because you can see the other two doors, so you know it's always the middle.
Yep. Yeah.
And that does help correspond to the second question, which, what are the three gifts Mara can grant you? You are close enough with all of them. It is visions of the future, earthly visions. Riches, and eternal youth.
Oh, eternal youth. Yes. Got it.
Yes. So right on in the spirit
riches,
of it.
So riches, youth, future.
Yeah.
That's right. Our third question from listener Ethan K, and I'm going to give you both a shot at redemption because you're wrong. How many skulls are in the attraction? The hint from Ethan is the number of skulls was originally in the attraction was there to honor the year it opened.
Oh,
so 1,994. 5.
That's cool.
A nice little nod to it. Yep. 1995 is correct.
Wow.
Ethan did mention it might only be 1994 because there's a story that cast member might have broken one that had to be removed.
Hmm. Oh. Right. Not 10,000, though.
Yeah, no.
Not 10,000.
Not 1,200. I was closer than your 10,000.
That's true.
You were closer. That's true.
I feel like sometimes when we get these questions and I pick something that seems like a reasonable amount, it's always like, nope, there's 150,000 of them. Yeah. And you're like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I'll just shoot high. And then it's like, nope, this time there's only 1995.
Yep. Just that small pile. Moving on, question number 4. One of the skeletons hidden within the temple can be found showing his Disney magic, wearing the Mouseketeer cap. What's love embroidered on it? You both said bones, and that is indeed what is on the name.
I love that so much.
Teresa, you've been getting the name right. Good job.
Good job. Hey, I got it right, too. I didn't see what she wrote. She covered up the paper.
You did good, too, Tig. Yep.
Thank you.
Nice job. The last question.
I'm still on trivia cruise mode where you just like have to write it as fast as you can.
Moving on. Yeah. Question number 5. There are several different voice lines Indy might congratulate you with at the end of the ride. How many can you name? I have 7 I'm confident in. 1 I'm a little less confident in, but wow, I think it's there. You gave me 3.5 of them. So you gave me, don't tell me that wasn't big fun.
Tig. Is that correct?
That was absolutely correct, Tig.
Yeah, because it's so dumb sounding.
Yep.
Like, who says big fun?
Mm-hmm. Next time you're on your own.
We said, right?
Yep. You were close with the next one. Next time, close your eyes. No. We are more serious about this. Next time, you wear blindfolds, okay?
Oh, that's right.
That's what it is. Yep.
The tourist line that you were close to, one of the 2 tourist lines, is a play on Indy's love of snakes. Tourists. Why'd it have to be tourists?
Yep.
The other one is just not bad.
For tourists.
Yep.
Dang it.
One after that, there. That wasn't so bad, was it?
Yep, I remember that one now you say it.
You were good in there. You were very, very good.
I
don't think I remember that one.
And then now, stay out of trouble, will you?
Oh,
I
yes.
I remember that one.
A nice list. I might be missing some. Who knows? But a lot of lines there. But I'm giving you half credit regardless. So
thank you.
You worked hard for it. So I'm eager to see who's going to read our minds in the next week and send trivia on the topics that we're going to, like Ethan did this week, or maybe just help inspire some as we go through it. Send producer Vern and I some trivia. Our email is trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us, and we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
Vitamin Water was born in New York because New Yorkers wanted more. Like more flavor to go with all the flavor. A refreshing drink after climbing 6 flights of stairs to a walk-up apartment or standing in the subway station in 100-degree heat. Drink Vitamin Water. It's from New York.